everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Mormon News Report. We are talking with some very, very special friends of the show. Oh, buckle up, everybody. I've got a lot of people to introduce. First off, we have Chantel Squires, Jen Lee Smith, Madeline Jorgensen, Melissa Leilani Larson, and our old pal, Jenny Noonan Dye. Everybody, one, two, three, how's it going?
Great.
Awesome.
So we've got a lot of people on the show. We're actually going to be talking with all of them. Chantel, Jen, Madeline, and Melissa have been doing so much great work for the movie Jane and Emma. So let's just go through all their bona fides and their I kept wanting to say callings, but it's not really a calling. Your job on the movie. So Chantel is the director and producer of Jane and Emma. Jen and Madeline are executive producers, and our old pal Melissa Leilani Larson, who we had on last summer to talk about Third Wheel and the pilot program, her awesome book from By Common Consent Press, is the writer. And Jenny, I know that this is something that you and I have talked about for a long time, this movie coming out and what's going on with it. And I'm really glad that we can finally get all of these amazing women on the show, because there's something really amazing about this movie. It's, I guess before I get ahead of myself, I should probably like do a synopsis or something like that, just so people know what we're talking about.
Yes, the movie Jane and Emma. You want to give a quick...
Sure. So Jane and Emma is a movie looking at Jane Manning James, a Black member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and Emma Smith, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and wife of Joseph Smith. And it's this fascinating movie that looks at different times in their lives, but specifically focuses on the aftermath of the death of Joseph Smith and Jane's feeling that she needs to go back and be with Emma during this time. And they do a lot of interesting things in the movie. I haven't seen it yet, but from what I understand, they do some flashbacks and flash forwards to this is what it was like when Jane first joined Joseph and Emma in their home and how she led to that point. But also, what has happened now that Joseph Smith is officially gone and how Jane and Emma both are dealing with that. And it's this great look. And I know for a fact that there has been a lot of research done to make sure that we're getting it right. But Jenny, I think the other thing that stands out about this movie is it's a movie written by women, produced and directed by women, about two very, very strong females in the history of the LDS Church.
Exactly. And so I will just say straight up, I may have mentioned this before, I'm not sure. I'm very critical, very critical of specifically any entertainment within the Mormon genre. I probably should be more accepting. I'm not.
Reason, right? Like there's a lot of corniness out there, right?
Well, and I think, you know, it Mormon entertainment in general, I think it just gets to the point where we want to be accepted. We want to be normal so badly that we'll do anything to be like, look at us. Look, we make music. We make movies too. So that being said, I had the opportunity earlier this summer to watch a screener of this film. The whole time I was on the edge of my seat looking over at John saying, oh my gosh, did you, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And immediately after I sent a message to Mel, the following day, John and I met with Chantel for lunch, and she and I were talking about it. Anyway, you know it's bad if I can't find the words, because there are so many words just swirling. It's so good, Brant. It's so good, and it's so important. Not only the content of this film is important, how they do it, but also the creation of it is what we need to talk about as well. That exactly as you said, this is a movie about women, made by women, for women and men.
And the thing is, like, we know the ending of the movie. Joseph Smith is dead. Like you could look on Wikipedia and see that. But there's so much. It feels like it's really an exploration into the character of these women, and it's something that I'm glad that we're getting into. Because I don't think you have the modern LDS Church without, you know, the thing with Emma is she. for some reason, Mormons had such a bad name for her for a long time, for maybe some misguided reasons. You know, Brigham Young was really not that kind towards Emma. And there was a lot of animosity between the two of them. And we saw Emma going through this renaissance about 10 to 15 years ago. And well, even before that, like the Mormon Enigma book is essential reading for anyone who wants to understand the character of Emma. But it seems like now we're finally getting back to, no, Emma's tough as nails. And now that Jane Manning James is getting, you know, the B1 event back in June, she is getting the recognition that she needs. And frankly, probably the closest thing we're going to get to an apology for someone like Jane. It's great to see that. So I want to toss it out. So we've got, like I said, we've got a whole quorum of sistren here.
Let's us shut up because people hear us all the time.
I know, so. Like they don't need to hear us. So I will throw it out to all of you, whoever wants to take this question. This is such a fascinating idea. So how did it happen? Where did it come from?
Well, Chantel?
Yeah, I can take that.
Yeah.
It really initially, just kind of what you said, a film made for women and men, but by women, about women, it just really felt like we needed to be telling our own stories. And so there was a lot of thought that went into what kind of story to tell. And, you know, of course, Emma's story, like all of this about Emma is so important, but we started working on a film about race and knowing that Jane was the one who, you know, we wanted to make this film about. We actually consulted with Tamu and Zandra, if you're familiar with them, and about what the story would be, like what they would hope, because they are two African American Mormon women, and they suggested to have it be about Jane and Emma. So then we went to figure out like what is that relationship, and as women, we really felt like this was an opportunity to. We don't know a lot about Jane. We don't know a lot about Emma. I mean, you know, Emma. There's so much about Joseph. There's just not enough. And as women, we felt like, okay, here are two incredible women. We know enough. We know enough about their faith. We know enough about who these women are and some of the choices that they've made. And we just began to infuse our own experiences into these women's lives and really started coming up with this story. But as we did that and as everyone was, you know, contributing their experiences, we just felt like, wow, this is an opportunity to really talk about something bigger here. And that's kind of how this whole thing kind of came to be.
So Mel and Chantel, because you're both the writer, Melissa, and the director, let me ask you a little bit, because Jenny got into this as far as Mormon filmmaking goes. It feels like, and I'm just going based off of the trailer, but it feels like this film has a very different feeling and vibe to it. If you look at like the history of Mormon cinema, and I'm only going to go back to like when the Singles Ward came out, right? It was kind of goofy and wholesome and hey, let's poke a little bit of fun at us. And then you had some of the Dutcher years, which was let's get into a couple of grayer areas that force us to stretch and think. And then we kind of swung back to things like the home teachers and church ball. But then we started really hitting on movies that could make an impact in the mainstream. So I'm thinking about Once I Was a Beehive and now the potential of this movie. And so what shifts have you seen and specifically how Mormon and Mormon women are portrayed, and how did that go into how you guys want to do this movie?
Anyone?
I can talk about okay. that. Because I just feel yes. like, yeah, I mean, it was such an important thing for me to be able to really address the truths. You know, like I'm a Mormon woman and I've been a member of the church my whole life. And I went through a divorce a few years ago and it really rocked my world. And my reality that I thought was a certain way wasn't. And a lot of things that I thought I believed and understood about what I believed was shattered and gone, and my truth just looked so different than it used to for me. And I would observe, you know, people around me, and there's all this pain, and there's all these things that people we're not talking about. And it makes that experience so much harder to go through when you're alone and you don't understand it. And I just felt like the experience that I had and the way that I felt God really assisted me through that and carried me through it, I had to share that. I had to give that to this film and allow the hard thing to be beautiful. Mm. Because I really believe that if we can talk about things in this way and if we can address them and make them real, like Joseph died, it happened and he was murdered. And what did that feel like for both of these women? You know, for Jane to have, we know that there were, that the opportunities for her, as far as the blessings of the church go, they were there before Joseph died. And so for Jane, his death really affects her life and, you know, her posterity's life. And for Emma, it was her husband, the death of her husband, like, and through their whole marriage, everything that she went through. These are real issues, real, you know, really compelling, really hard challenges that two women have to go through and decide what their relationship with God is at the end of the day in it. How do I make sense of these things? And I think that that's probably, I mean, as far as storytelling goes, like, it is interesting. It is an interesting story that doesn't just reach to Mormon women, you know, like it really reaches beyond that. It's just a very human experience. And I think for us, like, we just felt like, hey, we have a voice here. We have an opportunity to talk about this, and it's real and it's true. And I feel like truth will just resonate with people on any level.
I love it. I think that's great. And I think, like you said, it's more than the Mormonity, if I may. It's the,
Do we still say that? Can we still say that?
The not Mormonness. Yeah. But it's the humanity of it. It's the relationship. So I want to go back really quickly. You said that you consulted with Tamu and Zandra. And for those who may not know, that they're the sisters in Zion. And they talked about Jane and her relationship with Emma. Maybe this is a question for Mel, but what made you want to make this story about the immediate time after Joseph passed away? Like of all the things that Jane and Emma went through together as sisters, as friends, what was it about that specific time period that you wanted to highlight?
Well, it's drama. I wanted drama. And you can see and understand people, understand characters, when you see them in extreme situations where they have to make choices. I mean, we go to the theater to see people make decisions. Decisions that we hope we would make, decisions that we're glad we haven't made, you know, to see, to have a little bit of an experience separate from ourselves and yet relatable. And so with setting this film on the night after Joseph's death, the idea is to make everything is just incredibly volatile. Everything is at stake for both of these women. Jane doesn't know that going into the situation. She doesn't know that coming back to Nauvoo, what all has happened and what's at stake. And Emma, on the other hand, has lost her husband and is in an incredible state of grief and is very, very, she is, as Bran says, tough as nails. But on this night, she is incredibly vulnerable and trying to figure out, she's reeling from what has happened. And she has to deal with the fallout of her marriage and what that means with her relationship with the church, what's going to happen with her children and her house and everything that's going to go on in Nauvoo without Joseph, and those expectations about her relationship, both to her family and to the church. And Jane has this really interesting relationship with the Smiths, where they invited her to be a part of their family. And that's kind of like the crux of this whole idea, that there was this friendship. There had to have been something between these people for that offer to take place. And for Jane coming back and realizing that Joseph is dead and realizing that this possibility of being internally connected to the Smiths is lost, that like she's not going to have that with Joseph gone. I mean, that's a huge loss. So we wanted to put the story in the context of something where everything is at stake. Everything is, you know, it's everything or bust. Because that's what makes good drama. You need to see people in a situation where they have to make a decision and nothing is going to be the same again.
So
it's like, boom.
Let me ask you, because this is now a story dealing with real people. There's real historical research that goes into it. And I know, I have a feeling there's going to be some people out there that are going to say, now, come on, you're putting words in Emma and Jane and Joseph's mouth. And how can you do that? Why didn't you just go back and use source material? Can you tell me a little bit about the process that you went through on the research and the historical side to come up with their voices and to come up with how they all interact through this movie?
Of course I use source material. And I read as much as I could possibly read about both of them and about, well, I didn't read everything I could read about Joseph because there's a ridiculous amount about him. The goal usually is to find a place where with the characters where I know them well enough that I think I could carry on a conversation with them. And then I let them loose in the scene. Okay, now that I've said that, it sounds kind of crazy. But that's what you would, what you're trying to do is when you create a dramatic personage, a character, is to try to make them as real and well-rounded as possible. So that they seem like, you know, an actual human being. And I love history, and history is it's great. It's fascinating. And we have quotes from all of these people, but quotes do not a conversation make. Quotes do not dialogue make. And in a movie, you have to have characters speaking dialogue and having real conversations, and we want a feeling of what things were actually like. And so I think about this movie as, I think about it like painting a painting, which is that, you know, I'm taking a guess at what these people could look like, and I'm trying to make something beautiful. And I'm hoping that other people are touched by what they see the way that I feel like I've been touched by the story. Because if the bar for making a film about Jane Manning is historicity of the highest order, if it can only be made if we have it 99% accurate, this movie's not going to get made. And I don't think that's a good enough reason to not make, I mean, to not make the movie.
Awesome. If I may, there's just not a whole lot of history about women in general.
Yes. Jen, yes.
Gold star.
Yep. So tell me a little bit about the choice to cast
Emma. Well, wait, sorry. Can I interject here? I want to know how the four of you came together.
Ooh, yeah, that's
to work on this all together. Anyone? Jen?
Yeah.
Chantel?
It's, yeah. I mean, it started with Chantel and Mel, so okay. They should probably kick that off, and then me and Jen can.
It almost feels like we should have like music in the background. Like this feels like a montage of so and so met so and so, and then they met, and then. Okay, so it started with Chantel and Melissa, right?
Yeah, we had an initial meeting with my old business partner and producer, Arthur Van Wagenen. And so we all connected, which was really remarkable to have someone, a part of this female process, be a man and be so supportive and want to have a story told by women. I think that was something that he really contributed to this. And it's definitely important in empowering, you know, empowering that to happen. So that's how, I mean, we went to school together, Mel and I, and so we've known each other for a really long time, never worked on a project together. But then we, over the course of time, it was after about a year and a half, when the script was at a place where it was ready to be made, that's when I think things always fall into place, you know, when it's ready to go. That's when we ended up being introduced. I was introduced to Madeline over lunch because she produced another film for Excel. And so that was, so Arthur was the one that introduced us as well as Jen. So he really brought all of us together and made that introduction, which, you know, as soon as we met each other, we were like, done. It's done. You're on. This is happening because the passion was there. We all have very different skill sets and talents and life experiences, which while we are all women, we have very different experiences from each other. And we were all very willing to share them with each other as well and express our passion to each other. So we were, you know, for me, that's how it kind of felt, and it was great. It's so great to have a team like this.
So let me follow up on that question really quick. And this is probably going to be a very softball question, and you guys have probably heard this, but I think it's important to articulate it. Why is it so important to have an all-female crew, essentially, or a mostly female crew, talking about these stories in Mormon history and displaying them in a dramatic fashion?
I mean, I think it's important to have females telling stories. And I think we're finally seeing a lot of movies come out that are by women, you know, seen from the view of a woman's lens. And I think it just, you know, as women, we're socialized from a young age to identify with male protagonists and kind of the male journey. 'Cause Harry Potter, everyone loves Harry Potter. He's a male though. And little girls still see themselves as Harry Potter and love Harry Potter. And I think it's interesting to finally get a lot more female stories and kind of have flip the script. And now men can have that same experience, because when you see people's stories, when you get specific about how people feel and what their experience is, I think it just helps move humanity forward and move understanding forward. And so having women just telling stories about women, I mean, much less Mormon women, like Jen says, you know, history leaves out women a lot. And having women resurrect these stories and care for these stories, it's in a way that, you know, when I'm watching Jane and Emma, I see these women interact in such specific, detailed ways that I'm like, yeah, that's how I talk to my friend. You know, it's not just, okay, yeah, they want to be friends. That's exactly how I would approach someone and ask to be their friend. Or that's how I would approach just my friend that's grieving. That's what I love about the fact that we have had most of our team is female, and the males that are on our team are so supportive, like Chantel was saying. And we had a lot of crew members that were women, so it was just, and men, but it was just a very like equal and fantastic set for me to be on.
Cool. And then I'm just going to ask this too. How did you do it? I mean, Jen, you're in California. Yes?
I'm in California. I'm in San Francisco Bay Area with 3 kids and 2 dogs. How did we do it?
2 dogs are very important, by the way. Like, that's a very important part of the story.
That's a thing. That's a thing. You've all got, all 4 of you have a very, just have a wide variety of life circumstances, and none of them involve the, hey, I've got plenty of time to just make this film. Let's do that. I'm kind of bored. I'll just do that. So how, I mean, I love that this is what you've done, because I stand by you and behind you 1,000,000%. Exactly as Madeline said, it's important for women to tell women's stories. We need to hear the voices. Do any of you want to speak to that? Just how your juggling act has been performed so well.
Sleep is overrated. To start. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's not been a night that we have. I mean, well, there's been a few nights, but we start meetings at 10 p.m. after the kids have gone to bed, mm-hmm. and we go through the night till 5 a.m. I'm ready to sleep. I am exhausted, really. But I mean, I have 2 kids, single mom. It's not easy, but it's, you know, you kind of mentioned that this is our calling, and it's not untrue. I feel like I have a lot of passion for filmmaking and just in general, and being given, I guess, a gift that I feel like I need to use for the good in this short time of life that we have on this earth. You know, like, what's the point of being here and contributing to society if you're not trying to make a difference? And I feel like if I'm going to be sacrificing time away from my children, away from my personal life, away from, you know, things that like make me have like a normal, regular life, and I have to be doing something that means something to the world and to, I think, you know, bringing light into the world. And I feel like this film is that and has driven me to continue working on it and to be able to like make those sacrifices. And there's been times where I've wanted to stop because it's been exhausting. It's so hard to juggle all of these. I'm not going to lie. It is very, very hard to juggle all of it. And it's been 2.5 years. And I mean, I think we're just sustained, honestly, through it, because I think that this film needs to be told. I think the story needs to be told. I think it's important. And if we didn't have that inner calling come, I don't know, for me anyway, the amount of like emotion that has been required to be able to tell this story. It's had to come from somewhere. I don't take that credit at all because I don't know how I do it. Honestly, and then looking around at these four women, I'm just like, well, I don't know. We're supposed to be doing it. I really believe that somehow more time happens.
Absolutely. Like Chantal said, I mean, this is a passion driven project. And I was inspired by Jane on a deeply spiritual level. And that came later on in the film process for me. I don't know if any of you can relate to this, but having grown up in the church, there was kind of this rhetoric of not working as a woman. Mm-hmm. And it was a constant struggle for me because as a young kid, I knew I wanted to work and I wouldn't tell anyone, you know. I'd sit through Young Women and these church lessons on what our roles are in the LDS faith and just kind of feel a little bit guilty about the fact that I wanted to be a career person. Mm-hmm. And so in fact, when I was dating my husband at BYU, he was told by a couple of guys in the ward not to date me because, you know, she's one of those career types.
Oh, that's adorable.
Watch out for her.
And it actually made him more want to date me, which speaks to yes. how awesome he is. So I got very lucky. But yeah, I do think that this is a constant struggle as LDS women, Mormon women, you know, to you know, find what fuels us. And I am in so much admiration of women who find passion in raising their children and doing that full time. And we don't need to have any, I just think we ought to look at each other and have appreciation for each other and for our choices.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jen, because to be honest, like I'm glad you mentioned, you know, hearing the lessons that we all sat through about not working, about staying home and the honor that's there culturally for us. Because to be honest, even in me asking you guys, like, how did you do it? I cringe that I even asked that because that's not something that's asked of men. But I think that there's value in it because I know that there are women out there that have that passion that you're referring to, that have that desire, but they don't know how to even begin. So I'm so grateful that you all are pioneers in this male dominated field, and that your voices are not just here, but that they are shining.
And going along with that, people are starting to notice. I just saw this piece in Variety magazine. It was published yesterday. Reframe, a coalition of industry leaders founded by women in film and the Sundance Institute and IMDb Pro, which if any of you are movie buffs, you know all about IMDb Pro and what that can do, announced Tuesday nearly 24 films to be certified for their gender balanced productions. 24 films. And guess what? Jane and Emma made that list. So, Jen, tell me a little bit about why it's important that this list is available and what it means to you to make that list.
So I was invited by a friend to go to a women in film event. And this is one of the oldest organizations in Hollywood, specifically geared towards women in film. It's fantastic, film and television. And that's where I learned about the reframe stamp. It's a mark of distinction for film projects and TV projects that have demonstrated success in gender-balanced film. And it's based on the criteria that Reframe has developed with, you know, scholars and producers and other industry experts. So it is an honor to have a Reframe stamp. So I submitted Jane and Emma, not knowing if the religious aspect of our film would turn them off, and it didn't. And that's so refreshing. What gave us this distinction was that, you know, that there are female identifying people in 4 out of the 8 key areas, you know, of our film production, like writer, director, producer, the lead, the co-lead, the speaking parts, you know. And so we over-qualified.
Word.
Qualified, because I think the minimum that was required, there was a point system as well. The minimum requirement was 4 points. We had like 13 points. We're like, in true Mormon fashion, we really outdid ourselves. We are overachievers.
We got extra credit on the Bechdel test, dude.
Awesome.
So talk to me a little bit about, and Madeline and Jen, maybe you guys know a little bit more about this, about the distribution. So the movie's coming out on, it's going to be released on October 12th. If someone wanted to go see it, would they have to go to a certain, like, is it only going to be in Utah and Arizona and Idaho? Or are you going to have a wider release than that? What are we looking at as far as if people want to go see?
We're starting in Utah. So I need all of my Utah people to go. Utah, because as it is successful in Utah, we're just going to go out and out until we take over the world.
So consider this the call to action. We need everyone go see this movie October 12th. Because my understanding about the film industry, opening weekend is like vital. If you have a strong opening weekend, it opens so many doors. Is that right?
Very much so. Yes.
So it's going to be limited release in Utah on October 12th. And if things go well from there, you could see it opening up to more places.
Oh yeah, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that it will go out and beyond Utah.
That is the confidence we need. So if look, it takes someone like my situation, I'm here in Detroit. It's probably very unlikely that it's going to make it out here to Detroit. But if there were, do you have any plans for down the road some streaming options? Whether it be distribution on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or anything like that.
Well, we're not averse to streaming options, and working with Desert Book means that it will definitely be out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, I think probably early next year. To get it to accessible to everyone. I think everyone that's on this project and marketing it just feels that way. So I don't doubt that it will get there.
Talk to us. Write to us on our website, on our Facebook page. Let us know, your level of interest and where you are.
I will get my Detroit coalition, and we will do a letter writing campaign, and we will.
I love that.
We will do this. So, okay, everyone, thank you so much for coming on. Jenny, did you have any other last questions that you wanted to get in before we wrap it up?
Only a million, but that's okay. I'll talk to them another time too.
So thanks everyone for coming on again. Chantel Squires is the director and producer of Jane and Emma. Melissa Leilani Larson was the writer, and Jen Lee Smith and Madeline Jorgensen were the executive producers. Jane and Emma is going to be released on October 12th, 2018. Listeners, you heard the call to action. You got to be there. Opening weekend is going to be awesome. And I've got to imagine there's going to be some fun stuff going on in Utah when it's released. So check your local listings, October 12th, 2018, Jane and Emma. Thanks everyone for coming on, and we'll talk to you again after a while.